Eric Smith is going to give us an update on white paper number 3.
Good morning. Well, I am here today to announce that we have completed the third white paper, Drain Tiles and Groundwater Resources, Understanding the Relations, which is long overdue. We were commissioned going on, 2 years ago? Started in July of 2016, and we've been working on it ever since. We don't have the full document out on the website yet. It should be out there anytime now, but you all have received today a summary in your packet that gives a high level details of what we're discussing in the full document. The full document's about 50 pages. First, before I forget, I want to acknowledge everyone that was involved in this effort. Tim Gillette from Bowser really helped keep the group together. There's a lot of interest and a lot of people involved, a lot of schedules to coordinate, and he did a great job of doing that, along with Andrew Streitz as well on the as part of the board, although I have Andrew Streitz on there. Sorry about that, Andrew. And then we had several other white paper members who contributed both to the writing and also just content. Kristen Bland, Mary Coburn, Bryce Hoppe, Suzanne Reese, Calvin Alexander, Warren Formo, Stephen Lorenz, and Mark Moriam were all part of the white paper group. And then the board liaisons were Mindy Erickson from the USGS and Andrew. And then Yaba Kierskard and Dave Wall from the MDA and the PCA, respectively, also contributed some content. You can see the vast number of organizations that came together for this effort. It was a great blend of agencies, nonprofits, universities, and industry representatives that came together for this. So we had a lot of perspectives in the group, which was both a benefit to the paper and a challenge, because we had a lot of people, and it's a consensus document, so it doesn't present everything that everybody wanted, but you know, we tried to get as much as we could in there reasonably and still be able to get everyone to sign off on it. What this document does, it's a great background on agricultural drainage, both the positive benefits of it, and those would be helping out the crops, getting better crop yields. It also helps with limiting surface runoff, and then of course the downsides of it as well, which long-term wetland loss. A lot of that occurred in the past when drainage was really getting started. Drainage has been going on in Minnesota for over 150 years, and the degradation of downstream water quality, and also the reduced potential for groundwater recharge. And that was really more of what people in the group were interested in. We didn't want to focus so much on the surface water quality issues related to drainage, because this is a groundwater association. So that's why we kind of avoided it. And really, if you want to learn more about the controversy of drainage, I wouldn't go to this paper. You can go to the Star Tribune or the Des Moines Register to get those opinions. We also kind of did a synthesis of just basic groundwater 101, and also what drainage is all about. So it's a good primer for people who aren't as familiar with what agricultural drainage really is and how its confluence with groundwater occurs and what the concerns would be. So some of the major messages that we came up with at a very high level, there's a very complex history for drainage in the state. It's been going on for, as I mentioned, 150 years. So it's a lot of times it's hard to kind of take away what exactly the harm to groundwater could be from drainage since it's been going on so long, as opposed to just the fact that the land use has changed so much since Minnesota got started as a state with crops. And then the next big thing that we contributed that we're the group's proud of is the concept of drainage provinces. So we took the state and we divided it up into three different drainage provinces, southeastern Minnesota, south central Minnesota, and then western Minnesota. It's kind of a merger of the idea of groundwater provinces and then taking coverages of agricultural drainage and kind of merging them together. And I've got a map that shows that. And then finally, we have kind of presentation of knowledge gaps relation to the issue of drainage and groundwater. So here's the figure that I'm referring to. So you can see the three different provinces there, light yellow in southeastern Minnesota. And you can see on the map there, on the eastern side of that province, there's not a whole lot of drainage going on. And that's not necessarily true. That's just how the coverage that was done. This is a estimate of tile drainage done by the U.S. Geological Survey. And it's not an actual map of drainage. It's just an estimate based on taking land use, soil drainage type, and just kind of estimating where the drainage should be. Doesn't mean it's necessarily there, although we did some comparisons with some work that Dave Wall and others have been doing at the PCA, and it seems to be pretty decent in many parts of the state, although it doesn't do a great job in southwestern Minnesota. So anyway, it's the best estimate that's available at this time. And quite frankly, that's one of the big knowledge gaps, is that we don't know exactly where drainage is. I mean, we know what's going on everywhere, and we see it. If you drive around Minnesota, particularly this time of year or in the fall, you'll see big spools of tile drainage going in, but we don't have accurate maps of it, with the exception of a few places. One that comes to mind is, I think, Pomme de Terre actually makes people document where the drainage is going in. The other big presentation that we have is the knowledge gap section, and honestly, it's a call out to this group. The fact that we don't know a lot of information about how drainage affects groundwater, that's really up to people to do research on it to learn more. As I said, drainage is extensive, but we don't know exactly where it is. Now, there's some privacy issues in terms of getting all that information, but there is some pretty promising research being done using remote sensing to try to estimate where drainage is going. So that work is in progress, and over time we'll get a much better idea of where it's at. Because if you know where it's at, then you can do more accurate modeling of exactly what the effects could be. As I said, it's hard to separate the causes. It's been in the ground for a long time in many places, over 100 years. A lot of the wetlands that were drained before we really, quite frankly, had a lot of concern about those issues. Now, in the last 40, 50 years with the environmental movement, we've become more concerned about it. So it's hard to separate those causes. And there's also a lack of knowledge in regards to the infiltration rates below drainage, which gets to the final point that I have there in bold. The recharge effects are unknown. That's probably why this group was put together, but there's not a whole lot of research to really understand how much drainage affects recharge. You would think that, it's moving the water to rivers. Of course, it's affecting recharge. Well, it's more complicated than that, because a lot of the water might just be water that would have run off anyway or might have evapotranspired. So it's complicated. We need more research on it. And it's an opportunity for people in this room to really get going on that. So that's it. That's the white paper. And it'll be out there any day now, hopefully. And I'll leave it at that.